This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're doing Twitches, bitches. So if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Are you ready?
For One Dry Kiss.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy irreverent love letter to rom-coms. Where we recap one spooktacular Halloween movie in the month of October. Today we are doing Twitches, bitches. And I am here with the twin to my soul, Miss Tamara Cosio.
Oh, and I am here with the sun to my moon, Miss Corinne Eddy.
How twitchy of us.
Oh my God. Twitch, please. Oh my God. Twitch, please.
Okay, Tamara, I'm very excited. Do you have all the money that you won in Vegas to throw down on the bed so that I can, like, roll around in it?
Hateful.
Like you promised me?
You know that I don't. You know that I blew a little chunk of cash in Vegas trying to supplement our travel expenses with all of my winnings that never happened. I did not win. I literally put like $160 in the slot machines and subsequently lost it all. Thanks for bringing it up. Good times. Other than that, I had a great time aside from all the money I lost. Thanks for asking.
I hope you played some fun slot machines. And fear not, Miss Tamara, I have been doing so much pet sitting in the month of September so that I can help subsidize our trip.
You're doing it like the tried and true way. Like, you work, you make money. I'm like, I'm gonna throw this shit in the slot machine. See what happens. Yeah. Guess who wound up the victor? No. Okay. Thank you. That makes me feel a little bit better. It really does. But we did have a great time. I went with my friend Larry. We stayed at the Orleans, which I'm sorry, and they're not sponsoring us. I would definitely not recommend. And I only stayed there because my bowling league was staying there. But it was just a hot mess of a hotel. First, our air conditioning was out, and then our TV didn't work. And I'm like, what? New room. And they gave us a new room, thankfully. But yeah. It was just kind of a comedy of errors. We had breakfast there at a lovely diner, which was totally fine, but the sausage was undercooked. It was like a bunch of stuff like that. And I was like, come on, do better.
No.
Right?
Undercooked sausage is no.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. And then I'm like, can you actually take it back? Because what are you going to get back if you do?
Right.
So I just didn't eat the sausage, but everything else was fine. It was like that, just like one little like, oh, this is fine, and then a little knock down.
Yeah. And they're only 3.5 foot deep pool. Forget about it.
I wasn't going to bring that up. But since you mentioned it, yes, we had, actually the pool was pretty nice. A lot of families there, but the whole pool, the very biggest pool, was all 3.5 feet. And my partner in crime, Larry, that went with me, was very disappointed because he wanted to dive. He wanted to channel his inner dolphin and dive. But you can't dive in 3.5 feet. And I was like, honestly, I don't think they'd let you dive anywhere in Vegas because of liabilities. But who am I to say?
I wish they had like more of like a 4.5 foot, you know, for adults. Well, mm-hmm. I'm sorry that Larry couldn't be a dolphin to dive, but I'm glad that the pool was nice other than that and that you had a really great time.
Yep. So have you been, Corinne?
I've been okay. I've been taking care of a lot of animals. We heard last time about how I seduced an animal family with brothy cat food hands, and not much has happened since then. So, yeah, I spent the weekend pet free and it was glorious.
So, Corinne, do you have a synopsis for Twitches?
I forgot again. But
you shut your face. You shut your mouth. Oh my God. I love you. This is gotta be something we work in. This has got to be a bit now. It's got to be a bit.
I wish it was a bit.
Oh, we have to explain what happened when we were trying to do the outline last night.
Oh my God.
And why there may not be a synopsis, because it was a jumble fuck of a situation when we were trying to outline this gosh darn movie. It was cursed. It was downright cursed.
Gentle listeners, 90% of the issues were because of me, because I had beautifully outlined it. I had beautifully split it up. And what I always do when I'm going to write my portion of the script is I take the outline, I make a copy of it, and then I use the copy to do my portion of the script. Sadly, that was not what happened on this occasion. Not only that, but it kind of doubly didn't happen, because I decided, oh, who needs to make a copy? I'm just going to write on the original, thus deleting the indicator that it was my portion. And so I did like, I was like a third of my script done or something like that. And then Tamara jumped onto that document, didn't make a copy for herself. How'd that go?
Oh, well, it didn't go well. But there was the first indicator that had a T, and I was like, oh, okay. And so then I just figured everything underneath the T was mine.
Yeah.
So I basically outlined the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Uh-huh.
But some of the outline was yours. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, she took really thorough notes in this section, because you already outlined it.
You're like, this like, script wow. just writes itself.
Like, she had really strong feelings about this. You must want me to incorporate all these things. All right, I'll try to accommodate. And then I texted her and I was like, hey, I feel like this section that I'm doing is a bit long. And she was like, holy fucking shit, that's because I deleted just like the really short sections between us. I'm like, are they? Because I'm 15 minutes in and it's still my section. Because we were working off the same document and not, yeah. You can see where this went.
Oh, and Tam hadn't made a fresh copy of it for herself to work off of. So the both of us were just piling it on.
Can you stop editing so I can make a, what? No. Oh, this is, you're doing this? Are you doing this? You're using this? You're using this? Oh, Jesus Christ. You live and you learn, right? That's all I could say. Live and learn.
So,
sweet baby Jesus.
Tamara was very gracious towards me, even though I totally created more work for her by a lot.
I'm like, once I actually got the OG copy, I'm like, oh, I did 7 extra sections. Ah, well. We're basically cutting and pasting a lot of stuff that you already wrote, because as I said, really thorough, very thorough. Thank you.
Not in outline format at all. It's all paragraphs.
Huh. Cut and paste. Add some additional words to make it my own.
Yes, obviously.
Is that plagiarism? I don't think so. No. I don't think so.
No, it's perfection. Perfection. But to answer your question, I do not have a synopsis, but I will do a combo. Twitches. Two teen witches. Alex, played by Tia Mori Hardick, and Cameron, played by Tamara Mori Housley, were separated at birth and were adopted by 2 different families. They meet on their 21st birthday and, surprise, discover they have powers. They're magical. They're twins. And they're witches. What?
Powers.
It's all fun and games and glitter and fantasy until they find out that, oh, they're really responsible for saving the world from...
No pressure. Absolutely no pressure.
The darkness. Woo! Ooh, I'm following you.
When she said the darkness, I realized how uncomfortable I was and took off my bra.
And I'm just a lemming and I took off my bra, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, will Alex and Cameron defeat the darkness? Will the darkness go on tour and start singing, I believe in a thing called love, just listen to the rhythm in my heart? Keep those listening ears listening to find out.
Interesting song choice, but I'm here for it.
It's a song by the darkness.
Oh, is that? Okay, that very clever, very clever. Gold star for Corinne. Jesus.
Yes, the band The Darkness has this fantastic song with this bananas video. It's glorious. Touching you, touching me, hey, touching you, cause you're touching me, hey. Yes.
I am very familiar with that song, and you're doing a great rendition of it, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Miss Tara, are you ready to, I believe in a thing called love, just this little in my heart. Are you ready to take us on to the journey of the yes. twitches and the in darkness?
Ready. Am I ever. Also, just a side note that I am recording not from the pee-pee closet, but I am pee-pee closet adjacent. So if you hear any exterior noises, cars outside, Melody making her noises, or my friend in the next room who was nice enough to put on headphones to watch the Three Stooges laughing inexplicably, I apologize ahead of time.
I'm glad that you've been freed from the pee-pee closet and have gone into a noisier but a slightly less odorific area.
Yeah. The traffic isn't as noticeable right now for some reason. So, I don't know. Anyways, but I'm taking advantage and I'm not sitting in a closet full of pee. We open on a very CGI castle in a very CGI mystical land, a voiceover explains. The darkness raged across the magical land of Coventry, overpowering the forces of good. The twin daughters of the sun and the moon were born on Halloween, and so was a new hope. The prophecy says that only the twin witches can restore Coventry's light, but can they escape the darkness on the very day of their birth? The answer is yes, they can. Next, we see Ileana and Karsh pick up the two twin babies who were laid on the family crest of the sun and the moon. One baby has a sun pendant necklace, the other a moon pendant. The darkness approaches. And mind you, the darkness is a huge red and black phallic-looking plume that probably smells like sulfur and funk. I'm just saying, and not super great in the CGI section.
No. The darkness is the worst CGI in the entire movie.
Yes. And it's a Disney movie. The Magical Kingdom. The Dream Factory. Not trying to criticize, but Jesus, it's just really bad.
It's a TV movie, though, so it's not...
It's... I know, but... Could you do a little better? A little bit better? It was 2005, because I had to go back and look. Yeah. So I'm like, well, when was this made? Mm-hmm. Perhaps the technology wasn't there.
Yeah.
They barely escape and decide to split up. There are several dimensions to choose from, and Ileana asks if they should meet in the purple dimension. But there's no time for that. Each one takes a baby. Ileana takes the baby of the sun to the inner city, which is full of trash and destitution. She drops her at a hospital and assures her, you'll be safe here. Will she, though? Karsh takes the other baby of the moon to a suburban area full of posh red brick houses and trick-or-treaters. Both babies are in the Earth dimension. I'm guessing perhaps even the same city. Maybe Earth is the purple dimension? And Corinne, you had thoughts on that?
And Tamara saw my thoughts because...
they were in my outline.
I said, it's a goddamn miracle that those twins ended up in the same dimension. Karsh refers to agreeing to a dimension beforehand, not even the purple one. I like how the twin that got dropped at the nice hospital had the rougher upbringing, and the twin that got dropped at the hospital in a less nice neighborhood got the posh upbringing. How that happened also, I'm not really clear, but, you know, whatever. Oh, it's my turn. So... 21 years later, Cameron is in a room filled with drawings of a mystical land. She sits at her drafting table drawing. She's wearing the sun necklace she got as a baby. As soon as the sun is up, so is Cameron. She's sun-powered. Yay!
Oh, I hate her so much.
Okay.
Oh, you early risers out there.
Beyond the early riserdom of it all, I've been thinking. So, if we were to be these twitches, these two, Alex and Cameron, who is more like you and who is more like me?
Oh, boy. Oh, fuck. I mean, outside of the morning part, I think that I am a Cameron and you're an Alex.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. No, I totally, because you're always talking about, like, the bad things that might happen. So I thought of you more as a Alex and me more as a Cameron.
Okay. Well, I was just going from the fashion sensibilities. Like, I like shopping and dressing up way more and
yeah.
in that sense.
Sure.
I would drive a Porsche. You would drive a Prius. That type of thing.
Absolutely.
Not. I mean, if I could.
You were going from the superficial aspect, and I was going Absolutely. From the internal aspect. I got it.
And kind of like, I have her same sensibility when she was like, towards the end, we'll get into it, but she's kind of like, I want to be safe and secure and live this life because I like it. I'm like, I'm with you, girl. I am with you. Why do we have to go outside our box? Leave me in the box.
You're like, here's a box. I'm happy. It's got my name on it. I'm ready. So, anyways, Cameron's sun-powered. Yay! Tamara's giving me the fuck off eyes.
And I am not a morning person, so
Neither
maybe
am I.
Switcheroony. Yeah, no. I know you aren't. That's why I'm like, first thing, I know I'm not a morning person. I know you're really not a morning person.
So Cameron's parents creep up on her with the birthday cake trying to surprise her, but she flips around and yells, "Surprise!" before they have a chance to yell surprise themselves. And I'd like to take a moment to address the casting in the room. If Cameron is turning 21 on that day, Arnold Pinnick, the actor playing Cameron's dad, would have been 17, and Karen Holness, the actor playing Cam's mom, would have been seven when they were adopted. But they are actors, so I'm just assuming they are acting older. Anywho, despite the age difference, they have a warm, playful relationship and seem to appreciate Cameron for the person she is. But I specifically looked up the whole age thing because of you. Because of you. Because that one movie, that one time you brought it up, you were like, that mom does not look that old, yeah. like old. And it turns out she was like 4 years older or something like that
yes.
than the lead actress.
Yeah.
And so when I started watching this, I was like, wait a minute. That mom does not look that old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go Disney. Way to make a seven-year-old child adopt another one. Why not?
You know, it's all the rage these days. All the cool kids are doing. When you have enough money, you can do anything.
Exactly. And they always say, like, have kids young so you have the same energy to keep up with them.
Oh.
Why not? Why not be the same age as them? Why not be slightly older than them to act as maybe like an older sibling type?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a great idea.
Oh,
great idea.
Totally great.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the day, Cameron is playing tennis in their outdoor court with her dad. She's stomping him at it, and mom is watching in delight. Cameron expresses that she feels like she should be doing something different with her life. Her mom is afraid that Cameron wants to cancel her 100-plus person Halloween birthday party that is being thrown at their modest home.
Did you say modest?
Uh-huh. Yeah, modest.
Oh.
Thoughts?
By whose standards, pray tell?
Just by their standards, obviously.
Mm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
They have a tennis court. They have a circular driveway, probably multiple bathrooms, 5+, I'm guessing.
They have a pool, and I'm just going to bring it up briefly now. Mm. When the Halloween party happens, it is decorated like the Halloween party should have been decorated in the Halloween movie that we did last year, A Kind of Magic, that had witches.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes. So, modest. It's a modest mansion, you know?
Modest, quote unquote.
Yeah, modest.
Quote unquote. Hard, quote unquote. Depending on who you're talking to, quote unquote.
You know, just like the houses that we grew up in, right?
I'm guessing you're talking about when you moved away from me, because our houses look nothing like that. Nowhere near close.
When we moved away from you, we were still living in a ranch-style house. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was not that big. Bigger than what
we were
living
in
before, but yeah. not that
big. Oh, for sure. Yeah. There might have been a McMansion in the interim that I wasn't aware of. You just didn't invite me over to because I wasn't cool enough.
I've been holding out on you. There was this whole McMansion era of my life that I never let you in on.
I was wondering why you never called me back. Whatever.
You know, when you have a McMansion life, it's just like, it's hard. You can't find the phone because the place is so big. You know how
that is. And then you fall from grace, and then you find your friends really quickly after that. Thanks.
Bring me back down to earth, down to my people.
Oh, okay. Here for the bottom, not for the top. I see how you are.
Oh. Karen isn't going to cancel her 100-plus person Halloween birthday party, though she is looking at the bigger picture. She's 21. Shouldn't something bigger be happening for her? I'm like, you have all the money in the world. You can make bigger for yourself, honey. Right.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Don't let it just come smack you in the face. Isn't there something greater that could happen in the world? Why don't you just take your ass out there with all of your funds and go make something happen, honey. Please.
But Cameron interrupts her train of thought. I'll get it. And then the phone rings. Hi, Beth, she says immediately upon picking up the phone. She knew who it was, and she didn't have caller ID.
What?
I know.
Why not? This was 2005, after all.
Ooh, witching woman, see how high she flies. I started off way too low on that.
Jeez. Any excuse to sing a song. Miss Corinne Edding, thank you. Next, we see Alex, who is living a very different life from her twin sister. She's sleeping on her friend Lucinda's couch and is awoken by Lucinda's 7-year-old little sister, who is clad in a full witch's costume and surprises her with a delicious, nutritious breakfast of cereal, strawberry yogurt, and a little candy corn mixed in. We find out that Alex's mom is dead, going to get cigarettes? No, dieted.
Aww.
And Alex's big plans for her birthday are going out to find a job. Ah, the life of a parentless child. And this honestly hit me a little close to home because I have been there. In my early 20s, I was couch surfing because I didn't have a secure place to stay and had a lot of friends that were nice enough to let me crash on their couches.
Aww.
So, way to go, Alex. You do you, boo-boo.
Yes.
Alex, much like her sister, is an artist, but she's a writer, not a drawer, and stayed up super late last night making up stories. She's been that way her whole life, always writing and always staying up late to do it. Alex's dead mom used to accuse her of being a werewolf. And wouldn't that be an interesting mashup? Werewolf and witch? Would we call it a werewitch or a witwolf, perhaps? Disney, are you listening?
Or a witch.
Why are you gonna outdo me? Why are you gonna have better ideas than me? Hateful, hateful.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to one up you. Absolutely. Not at all. I win.
You win. Win in friendship. God damn it. Eventually, Lucinda and Alex leave to go catch the bus. Lucinda, being a good bestie, tries to encourage Alex to do something fun for her birthday, but Alex insists that getting a job is what one does when they're unemployed and living on their friend's couch. Lucinda assures her that she can stay with them as long as possible because she's like family. Alex, being a little bit of a sourpuss, reminds her that like is the operative word. Her bestie asks what's wrong with her, and Alex can't explain it. She just feels like something really bad is going to happen today. Oh, she adds, and tell your mom I said hi. Lucinda's confused until her phone rings, and it's her mom. What? She chats on the phone easily, and who is sitting right behind him on the bus but Karsh? He looks Alex up and down and says, oh yes, you appear to have great power. She and Lucinda give him a look that says, keep going, fucker, and I'm going to bust out my pepper spray and hit your ass. He realizes he's out of line, is giving off serious creeper vibes, and slinks back down and stays quiet.
Cameron drives up next to the bus in her 2-seater convertible with her friend Beth. She's talking about how she thinks something big, good, and life-changing is going to happen. Beth says, like that time you thought you were going to be prom queen, and then you were? Cameron responds enthusiastically, yes, except better. They drive out, and Alex looks out the bus window just in time to see the back of Cam's sweet convertible. Alex comments, "Cute car," as she watches it drive away. Cameron and her friends have parked, grabbed coffee, and are walking around downtown when the bus pulls up. And I'd like to pause for a moment here to make an observation that was not in my notes, if Tamara doesn't know, about...
Don't I? Because I was privy to the notes a couple of days ago. So maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't know. Let's know.
I've got to say that Twitches, being a Disney movie and all, what have you, surprising, it actually does a really good job in some ways of illustrating the differences between people who have money and people who don't, and the advantages that that gives them.
Mm-hmm.
Because here is Cam on her birthday, and she is driving in her Porsche and you know, picking up her friend, and they're going to go out shopping and not a care in the world. And then here is Alex on her birthday, and she had to leave the house earlier than Cam because she doesn't have a car. And even though Cam leaves later, she has parked, gotten coffee, had a chance for a little stroll with her friend before Alex and her friend even get off the bus. And the amount of labor it takes Alex just to get somewhere versus Cam, it's just a world of difference.
Try that in Fresno summertime. That is not fun. Riding a bus from school to work and work to school and home is hot. That was just...
In the summertime?
I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah.
In the summertime. It's so funny because they talk about global warming, which I, you know, it happens. It is happening. But recently I was watching the news and they had the weather report plastered. The heat is rising, triple digits all across California. Here it's this temperature. Here it's this temperature. In Fresno, it's 105, 112, 108. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're even commenting on it. I mean, that's like all the summers I spent there. Mm-hmm. So, oh, okay. So 108, 105, 112 degree days riding the bus with no shade at bus stops was absolute torture, and probably why I prefer cooler climates now, because I was burnt way more than I should have been the 16 years I lived there.
Yeah, the bus life can be a difficult life. I did the whole busing for an hour and a half each way to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, starts to wear after a while. Fortunately, I was in better weather than you were, but still.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And mind you, like, I am not discounting, like, I have seen bus culture in LA, and I'm still kind of a milder climate, a little bit nicer, but the crap that goes down on the buses here is almost as disturbing as what you have to go through up in the Central California area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have crime, you have mental instability, you have people that are just doing really weird things on buses where I'm mm-hmm. like, thank God I have a car. Thank God I have a car.
Yeah, I remember that one time I got flashed by a guy on the bus. That was fun.
Oh.
I know. And like, when I think about it now, grown, if I had had things, you know, there's the whole fight, flight, or freeze action.
Mm-hmm.
And I am either fight or freeze.
Yeah.
And so when I got flashed on the bus, I was just like, I'm just going to pretend like I didn't see a thing. Now I'd be like, fuck you. I'm going to get you kicked off this motherfucking bus right now.
Oh, yes. The age and wisdom that comes with that bullshit. Like, ugh. Oh, I've dealt with this too many times before. You know what, motherfucker? Not today. Not today.
For real. And Cam's whole disposition is super sunny and super positive, and Alex's is not. But Alex has a lot more real life things to deal with than Cam, you know? And so...
Oh, is that why I'm an Alex?
Yes.
That's it. The school of hard knocks have hit my head, and therefore I am less sunny, have a darker disposition.
I was thinking more about how you thought everybody was a murderer around every corner, but you know, whatever.
Oh, so do you. Don't even. Don't. You watch true crime too. Don't even point that finger over here. Do not point that finger.
You're
over
like,
here.
Take it and turn it around. Back to you.
Yes. Oh, you also have a murderino hoodie. Don't act like you don't.
It's
like
cute.
You don't.
It's cute. I'm not actually a murderino, but I do love the accessories.
She is a murderino. Don't let her lie to you.
Don't listen to her, gentle listeners. She knows not what she says. She knows not what's in my heart, my Hallmark heart.
Only known her since she was 2. Absolutely, completely misinformed. All day long over here.
Oh my God. And I'm now like 5 shades of red, beet red. This is amazing. Anywho, so Cameron's chilling with coffee and her friend and walking around downtown when the bus pulls up and Alex gets off of it. Cameron tells Beth, I need to be extra observant so I don't miss the big thing. She looks around, suddenly shrieking, and points towards Alex. But she's not freaking out that she has found her twin. She is completely distracted by her favorite store having a sale across the street. So far, neither twin has seen their doppelganger. Karsh gets off the bus behind Alex, getting stuck in the door. It's very exciting. And Alex glances at him, gives him the creeper, I see you eyes, and walks off. Cameron and her friend squeal about the sale. Oh my God! And go across the street where Cameron lets Beth know that you can go look at shoes if you want. Let's just meet back here. Beth argues, I didn't say anything. But Cameron insists, yeah, you did. Their disagreement is interrupted by Ilyana coming out of the store and gushing over Cameron. And both Ilyana and Karsh are kind of dressed in these... Karsh is kind of like dressed like a elf, except he doesn't... He's not in green and red tones.
Yeah. It's like a cross between steampunk and Ren Faire.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a weird middle ground of what the fuck are you doing between those two.
Yes, exactly. And Ilyana is more Ren Faire side, like peasant dress kind of thing going on. So they totally fit into the 2006 style sensibilities. They're not sticking out like sore thumbs or anything. No, not them. So Ilyana comes out of the store and gushes over Cameron, wanting to pinch her cheeks and talking about how ready she is. She tells her, good luck, and rushes off. Cameron gives the strange woman a what the fuck look as she watches Ilyana rush down the street.
And where do they go? Ilyana and Karsh meet up on a rooftop across the street from the store Cameron is shopping in. Ilyana is thrilled that she can finally interact with the girls they've been watching from a distance throughout their lives. Karsh chastises her for being a little overzealous at the meeting. Much like you, creeper stalker status, I would hold my tongue, Karsh.
Seriously.
Yeah. Alex passes the store that her twin is in, and Karsh conjures up a help wanted sign outside the store. Alex notices it, but keeps walking, so he gets a little more pronounced. He conjures another sign that says, no experience necessary! Alex reads it, and is a little more interested, but keeps going, until he goes balls to the wall, and throws a, we're desperate! Sign on the window, which finally spurs her to go inside. She walks directly up to the counter lady to inquire about the sign, when another sales gal approaches her and hands her the size 2 dress she was looking for. Question mark? She takes it confused, asked about the job, and the gal behind the counter, who we'll call Trinity, as per Corinne's suggestion,
I
looks at
her
bemused. Yes, because sometimes when you have those people that you're like, Trinity, Alex, it would be nicer just to have a name to go with it. So I am taking your lead and I am calling her Trinity. Who we'll call Trinity looks at her bemused and says, well, you'll need a job because that dress in your hand costs $600. Alex scoffs loudly, $600? Why, that's... She catches herself and says, a great deal for such a quality piece. Trinity mutters, good save, but is still unimpressed. Alex resorts to pleading. She's a hard worker and doesn't have experience, but she's a really fast learner. Trinity says, oh, honesty, that is valuable everywhere except with sales and fashion.
Ugh.
Cameron comes up from behind the conversation. Will they finally meet? No. She thinks Alex is a sales girl who is helping her and grabs the dress from her hand and takes it into the fitting room. Alex is undeterred and finally resorts to flattery. She tells Trinity, "Oh my God, girl, those shoes you have on are so cute." The counter girl finally softens. "Why, thank you. I just got them." As she says this, Alex squints her eyes in a "is that fake enough for you" expression. Trinity is finally impressed, offers her a job, and she can start by clearing out the fitting rooms and racking some clothes. And that is the most impromptu hiring session I've ever seen. No new employee video, no "here's your locker," no "this is how much salary you'll be making and your payday." Just get to work. Okay.
Yeah, you at least need to, like, sign something that says, "I'm an employee," right, and fill out a W-2 form or whatever.
Right. Thank you. That's me, manager talk. Like, I was just, that was my, where my mind was like, are you going to get paid at the end of the day? Because we're getting ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Something happens. She gets fired. Does she get paid? We'll never know because she never signed that paperwork. Anywho, Alex is a quick study. She immediately goes and takes a heap of clothes out of the fitting room just as Cameron exits the fitting room and they bump into each other. They bend down to pick up the clothes that fell all over the floor and finally get a good look at each other's face and scream! Ah! Alex is appalled and Cameron is thrilled. She gushes, "I knew it! I knew this was happening today! Are we sisters? No, twins. Were you adopted? I was adopted." Alex, on the other hand, tells her to stay away from her and rushes out of the store, but Cameron is quick on her heels. She catches her hand in the store's doorway, and when their fingers touch, the whole world slows way down. Like slow motion style. Alex snatches her hand away, and as she does, all the mannequins in the store window's clothes tear off and fall to the floor.
Sexy.
What the heck is happening? I know. I was going to say, good thing this isn't like an 80s fucking comedy with two guys that have the ability to rip clothes off of people, because that would be a whole different movie.
If it were an 80s comedy, then like also the ladies that were standing behind the mannequins also would have had their clothes ripped off of them and they'd be like, oh, and we'd see some boobies.
Or everybody on the street passing by. Why not?
And there would be boobies everywhere. Boobies everywhere.
Boobies everywhere.
Ileana and Karsh look on at the twins' reunion. Ileana with pride and Karsh with a bit of trepidation. Since the twins have been reunited, now Coventry knows. They're alive. They're alive. They're alive.
Do they know they're alive, Corinne?
They're alive. Back in Coventry, Miranda, who is Alex and Cameron's mom, or as they're known in Coventry, Apollo and Artemis.
I hate those names.
As does Alex and Cameron. So Miranda runs to Thantos. Apollo and Artemis, they're alive. He doesn't believe it. Don't start this again. I know you'd like them to be alive, but there's no way they're alive. Can I have written alive
more? I think you could squeeze four more alives in there, at least, before you're flagged.
There's no way they're alive after all these years. Miranda is resolute. I feel it in my soul. They're alive and they're together. I added that in. She holds up her necklace, which has a moon and a sun on it, and it glows. Thantos grows concerned. If that's true, that they're alive, then we can assume we're not the only ones who know. We have to find them before. They're not alive. They're dieted. Miranda fills in the blank. The darkness does. Thantos tells her to sit tight.
I'm so sorry. It's our vacation starting today because we're flying to New York tomorrow and I am having a glass of wine and now I'm thinking I need to start a drinking game where I have a drink every time you say alive.
You would be so...
Alive. Drink. Alive. Drink. Alive. Drink.
You'd be so drunk because I'm just throwing them in there. Whenever I see an alive opportunity now, I'm just plopping it in.
My next portion is going to be like, and the girl pulled out the handling. And take it away, Craig.
And I'll be like, what Tamara meant to say was, I know her soul. Thantos tells her to sit tight. He's going to get those twins and bring them back safe and alive to Coventry. Back back out on Earth Dimension, Cameron and Alex start to get to know each other. Well, they will after Cameron clears up the whole shoplifting issue with an irate Trinity who has stopped her outside the store after Cam ran after Alex while still wearing the $600 dress. And that's $600 in 2006 monies.
And it wasn't even cute.
No, it really wasn't. Cameron haughtily explains that she wasn't stealing, and certainly not that fugly outfit, but she did think it was cute, even though it hugs her curves in all the right ways. Yeah. She hands Trinity cash, and Trinity takes the cash and fires Alex. I'm like, and you know who, like, we totally just carry $600 cash on us wherever. Well, no, she probably has more than that, right? She probably, like, took $1,000 with her just for, like, fun little spending money for the day.
I don't even know what that looks like. No. I can't wrap my head around that. No. You can keep talking, but I'm like, oh, sure. Okay. Going along for the ride.
Alex is pissed that she lost her job, but Cameron doesn't care. She's just thrilled to have found her twin. And when her friend Beth approaches Cameron and then sees Alex and is then confused, Cameron excitedly tells Beth, I've got a twin. That's what I was sensing. It was great hanging out with you, Beth, but now I'm busy with Alex. See you at the party later. Beth happily says goodbye and walks off until she slows down. Wait a minute. I just got blown off and Cameron was my ride. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But Cameron doesn't notice. She's busy guiding Alex into her Porsche convertible that she got at her sweet 16. See, she's not spoiled.
She only gets those high ticket items on her birthdays and special occasions. That's completely normal.
When she's like, oh, you got this car. She's like, not for my 21st birthday, silly. My 16th. See, it's a 5-year-old car.
Ugh, so modest.
So modest.
So down to earth.
Mm-hmm. That she could probably sell and I could live off of the money for it and not work for a couple of years. So.
Wow.
Ugh.
Let's just think about that for a moment, shall we? Yeah.
Cameron is surprised that Alex isn't more excited. Alex is moody and intense, and it suddenly dawns on Cam, oh no, didn't your parents tell you that you were adopted? Alex's face softens. I only ever had a mom, and yeah, she did. She died 3 months ago. Cameron puts her hand on Alex's to console her, and the car goes haywire. Lights flashing, windshield fluid spraying, wipers wiping, horn a-honking, radio a-radioing. Whoo! It's a lot. Cameron is elated by this. Alex is put off by it. As they drive down the street, Cameron thinks aloud about all the different twins she knows that don't have powers. I'm like, who do you know that has powers? Come on! Twins, no twins, please.
Well, there were the Banga twins in Shepherd, Gerbosh and Gersharon, that like had all the girls a Twitter with their smoldering dark good looks.
Oh, they weren't on my radar at all.
Oh.
Because they were probably in your class and not mine.
No, they were above me. They were like a year ahead of me.
Yeah, so they were well out of my, yeah.
And they were my friend's brothers, so there's that.
Yeah. Alex rolls her eyes. Well, I'm sitting in a porch with my twin sister, so yeah, I think magic is the most likely explanation. Cameron is excited by this. She's excited by a lot of things. Ooh, let's try it again. She grabs Alex's hands, and a twinkle, 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 they swap outfits. Alex insists on getting changed back into her clothes, and Cameron grudgingly makes it happen.
After all that, the girls decide to go to Cameron's house. They pull up to Cameron's McMansion. Alex is stunned and can't stop questioning her life. Is this your house? When she's on the outside, once they go inside. Is this your entryway? Cameron pleads with her to please stop saying that. Her parents aren't home, so they go up to Cameron's bedroom, and Alex catches herself before she says, is this your bedroom? Because it's larger than most apartments I've seen and resembles a studio more than an actual bedroom. The girls wonder if they can do magic together since they're more powerful. They try their hand at opening a drawer with their minds, and it works a little too well. The drawer flies out and almost smacks him in the head. Now that they're for sure related, Cameron flits about trying to find scrapbooks to share with her sis about her childhood. Meanwhile, Alex notices all of the artwork on her wall. The drawings look oddly familiar, and she sees the self-portrait, question mark, from the beginning of the movie. That's me, she proclaims. Cameron says, maybe not, I'm not sure who it is. But Alex points out that the person in the picture is wearing her moon amulet. Some other people in the drawings look familiar, including a very pretty woman who is gazing sadly out a window. You're really good, Alex marvels, and her sister thanks her and goes back to rooting around for her scrapbooks. She asks her to take a look in the other closet because she can't find them. Alex scowls. Two closets? You have two closets and I share a drawer with a phone book?
And when she says closets, she means large walk-in closets.
Not coat closets, not linen closets. Like, go in there and find your shit closets.
And her room has, it has a whole, like, little entertainment couchy area in addition to, like, the beddy area. I mean, her room could easily be my apartment, except larger.
That's what I was saying, except there's no kitchen.
Yeah.
That's why I said it was more like a studio, not an apartment. There's no kitchen.
Yes. A nice studio, like, a nice size studio, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alex is struck silent when she opens up the other closet door. She stands there dumbfounded until her sister joins her side and says quietly, this isn't my closet. We see that they've opened up not a doorway to coats and dresses, but a portal to another world. And this world looks fantastical. Instead of being terrified, the girls remark that it looks familiar and start wandering away from the portal. A disembodied voice tells them they have been to this place in their dreams. They follow it to see Ileana and Karsh, who both appear and explain that they have been guardians over the curls for their whole lives, silently watching over them, not interfering. The twins realize that the fantastical world is their home and wonder about their parents. Is their father here? Ileana hesitates, tries to think of a good way to say it, and can't, so she blurts out, he died the day you guys were born, but also asked us to watch over you.
Subtle. I like it.
Yeah. Super, like, way to just peel off that Band-Aid fast. Then Karsh inexplicably asks them to go someplace quieter and ushers them into a darker corner of the castle courtyard, and then quietly/not quietly explains to the girls that their home is called the Coventry, that they're being hunted by the darkness, their mother is still very much alive, and the fate of the world/dimension resides on them.
No pressure.
The girls have all kinds of questions, but suddenly they need to be shhed, even though their guardians were talking very loudly and emphatically a few minutes ago. What's going on? Shhed. What are we doing? Shhed. Who are we trying to protect? Pshht. Did you notice that? Like, I didn't. Sometimes they're like, we need to go over here and be quiet. What? You guys were just talking so loud. And yes. Then is the darkness listening? Is the darkness hearing you? Is that why we're going over here?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I completely agree with you. I was like, but you were just talking in normal voices before, and it's not like you're shouting or anything.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, I'm on that same page. I'm on the bandwagon with you. Choo-choo. I'm riding the train.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Hashtag not just me.
Not just you.
Cameron is intrigued, but Alex wants none of it. She says, no thank you, and bounces the fuck out of there. The guardians are confused, and Alex reminds them before she leaves in a huff, that she knows how it ends. Remember, for years, she wrote the stories of her people in the Coventry, and apparently the tale did not have a happy ending. Cameron is sure she can convince her twin to come back. She tells Karsh and Ileana to talk amongst themselves. She'll just have a quick word with her. It's not a big deal because running off is kind of Alex's thing, but she's sure she can bring her back in.
Yeah.
She follows her. They both get in the door portal and fly the fuck out of there. So much for bringing her back. As they leave and their door flies up to the sky, Ileana whispers to Karsh, I wonder if we should have mentioned that they're marked for death. He doesn't think so. No.
Alex runs through the door back into Cameron's room, and Cameron follows shortly thereafter. The door closes behind them, and when Cameron tries to portal back to Coventry, the second closet is just a closet. Cameron is cheesed. Why did you leave? We're from a magical fairy tale world. But Alex is resolute. There is nothing magical or fairy tale about that place. And I have to say, well, technically magical, yeah. but fairy tale, maybe not.
Questionable.
Alex glances over at the wall where several of Cameron's drawings hang. No wonder the world looked so familiar. You drew it. Cameron gets excited. I wonder if all these are of Coventry. The camera pans and we see several drawings with a dark, menacing figure in them. Alex eyes them and says, "Let's hope not." Cameron shakes her head. I swear, you're the only person who can make finding a twin sister and a magical land in one day seem like a negative. Alex looks at her.
Well, if you got some darkness coming after you, that's going to kill you. I mean, like, there's some downside to it, just saying.
And you're right. I would be highly suspicious, honestly. So,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, did somebody slip me acid?
Yeah.
Did I get roofied? What the fuck is going on? That's where my mind would go.
And I would be like, who's conning me? What's going on? Who is fucking with me? Like, that would be
and
my
I'm thing. The Alex... And I'm the Alex.
I know. I realize that you're right. I'm wrong. And I'm sorry. Oh. Tamara is right and Corinne is wrong. Tamara is right and Corinne is wrong. Tamara.
That is the beauty about the twitches, right, though, because we can do some switches with the twitches and like different personality traits. So it's all good. You can flop back and forth as needed.
Alex looks at her intensely. If what I wrote is true, then our dad didn't just die when we were born. He died trying to save us. Cameron is shocked. Who would want to kill us? Then they glance over at a drawing of the darkness that Cameron has done. Dun, 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 dun. In the kitchen of Cameron's mansion, we see caterers getting ready for Cameron's big party and the darkness dipping down and checking things out from the ceiling. Back in Cameron's room, Cameron is super dubious. Plus, she hasn't been afraid of the dark since forever. Alex is done, but Cameron begs her to stick around. They just found each other, and Alex relents. She's in, because she's a down bitch. Just like Tamara. Downstairs, a floral arrangement catches on fire. And the darkness looks around Cameron's room, setting fire to her drawings. But Cameron and Alex have already left in Cam's sweet, sweet convertible. Back in Coventry, Miranda has had it. I'm going to go find my girls. But Thantos is insistent. If you leave Coventry, you leave your people defenseless against the darkness. It's better if you stay where you... Oh my God, I just realized something.
What? What?
So this fucker has this darkness swarming around the castle, and Miranda is always having to fight it off. He is fucking holding her hostage with the darkness. He has the darkness there just to keep Miranda in the fucking castle. For himself. Thantos is insistent. If you leave Coventry, you leave your people defenseless against the darkness. It's better if you stay where you are, and the more magic the twins use, the easier they will be to find. Miranda apologizes. I'm sorry. I just know my daughters need me. Thantos responds. If they even want to be found, they've been hidden for over 20 years. Maybe this is all a trick to lure you out of Coventry. Think about it. Maybe they're working for the darkness. I know. Miranda narrows her eyes. I'm not going to think about it. My daughters are alive. Alive! And out there.
Alive!
And I want them to come home. Thantos muses that maybe Ileana and Karsh, his brother's servants, are in on this. But Miranda insists that they were killed in battle. Miranda, we hate to break it to you, but Ileana and Karsh, totally alive. Totes alive. We know this. We've seen them. They have interesting outfits. But speaking of outfits, Miranda, your blue sateen dress is the cheapest looking thing in this whole entire movie. And I am like, what the fuck?
I know sometimes. Oh, Disney's costume design and CGI is very reminiscent of Hallmark's set design. You can do better. You know you can. You know you can.
I know.
Why don't you?
Oh, that blue dress looked so fucking bad and cheap. It was. And she had to wear the same thing throughout the entire movie.
That's why she looks so pissed off. You think it's because she lost her daughters and thought they were dead? And she's like, this fucking thing, these synthetic fibers on my body. I can't even.
Miranda starts walking off and Thantos pursues her. Miranda, wait! Even though I've never met them, I love the twins as if they were my own. The twins hold the power.
Bullshit!
They're alive! The twins hold the passion. Wait, no. The power to save Coventry from the darkness as long as they're alive. And restore light to the land when they're alive. Whoever controls them while they're alive controls their fate! Miranda glares at Thantos. Find them, please. And she walks off as Thantos says under his breath, I intend to.
The two girls jump into Cameron's Porsche and go to Alex's house. They're, unless they're ghost girls that died inexplicably between the last two scenes. I think I'm going to say yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. An emphatic yes.
Okay.
The two girls are alive.
Great.
Two alive girls jump into Cameron's alive Porsche and go to Alex's alive house so she can get her alive journals, which outline their birthplaces because they're still alive. Alex is still staying in Lucinda's apartment on the couch, and she's hunting around for her journals, and Cameron is walking around balking. Is this your apartment? Do you live here? Is this your bathroom? Her sister stops her. Yeah, you know what? That is annoying, because she was doing it to her McMansion. She finally finds her stories and starts rifling through them.
I'd like to say that she's doing that to her McMansion is punching up, but doing that to her apartment is punching down.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She finds her stories and starts rifling through them, explaining that she mostly writes between midnight and 4 a.m. She's unconsciously clutching her pendant, and so is her sister, who gasps, I usually draw first thing in the morning. Oh my God, we're like darkness and light, daytime and nighttime. Isn't that weird? That's so weird. Just then, Cameron says, my mom is calling, and grabs her phone. Alex gasps because it didn't even ring. And she does the exact same thing. Hashtag twinning. Cam starts explaining to her mom, you'll never believe what happened. And Alex intervenes, you can't tell her about me over the phone. Cameron argues, my mom is really cool. To which Alex counters, what are you going to say? Hey, found my long lost twin sister whose mom is trapped in a magical realm. The darkness is out to get them. Whatever. What mom is that cool? Her sister agrees and covers by saying, you won't believe the cool shoes I'm going to wear to the Halloween party, Mom. But Mom just wanted to check in because there was a little problem with the florist. All the flower arrangements in the house were singed, or better yet, burnt to a crisp. Cameron's unperturbed by the news, but does share a tiny tidbit. Mom, I'm bringing my new friend to the party. Her name is Alex. You're going to love her. She hangs up the phone and insists that now Alex has to come to the party because she can't possibly miss her sister's birthday, even though it's her birthday too. Whatever. Alex is reluctant, but they grab the journals anyways and head out. A little later, they walk around the city and Alex fills her sister in on the stories she's written throughout the years. In Coventry, Alex is named Artemis, and Cameron is Apollo. Alex didn't share her stories. I mean, once she did to her mom, but her mom felt bad because Alex was always talking about this beautiful maternal figure that can do magic, and all the while they were living in a crappy trailer home in Montana while her mother was finishing her degree. Even though most of Alex's writing on Coventry is positive, there was a dark side. Before they were born, the darkness traveled over the Coventry and stole all the light and souls of anyone it touched.
Ooh.
We see the big red and black phallic smoke wafting over the houses and fields, sucking at people as they scream and becoming part of the ooze that is the bad CGI of this Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's some dark shit. Alex and Cameron's mom and dad's combined powers were able to keep the darkness at bay, but when they were born, their dad, Aaron, was forced to fight the darkness alone because Mama was busy birthing, as Corinne so eloquently put in her notes.
You know, I'm a poet. I'm just a poet.
The darkness took advantage of this. Their dad's only thought was of saving his newborn twins, and he gave them every drop of power he had left, channeling it into their sun and moon necklaces. When the darkness tried to take the twins, the magic repelled it and pushed the black and red weenie out of the castle. Good writing.
In the great eloquent words of
really
Miss Tamara.
Paints a picture. Yeah. The big black and red weenie. Good job. Anyways, eventually, their mom, whose name they think is Miranda, at least that's what they named her in all of their creative works, wound up marrying their uncle, Thantos. Star, star, star. Note to self. Nepotism. Am I right? I guess medieval times are the same as they are in the Coventry. You must marry within the family to keep the bloodline pure. In Anywho, Alex always got the impression that her mother was trapped in this element and that she was going to be the one to save her. Cameron, who's listening closely, asks where she is when all of this is happening, and Alex shrugs and says, shopping, I guess, which kind of checks out.
Yeah, yeah. And while they're walking through this park. This is one of the most random scenes in the movie because they're walking through this park and around the perimeter of this park are boats, like speedboats, just sitting there, landlocked, which is strange.
I did not even notice that.
What's even stranger are there are these big cow sculptures on the green of the park. Now, these, I think, were...
I saw the cows.
Yes. These, I think, were added. Like, I think the boats were there, like, previously, you know, just part of the landscape. But the cows, I think, might have been added. It was an interesting decision. And the cows, I'm guessing two of them are possessed by Ileana and Karsh, question mark, because their eyes are following... As
I thought they were possessed by the darkness and was confused and didn't mention it because I'm like, I don't know why these cows are watching them. Maybe they're just promoting vegetarianism. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it was Ileana and Karsh, but I also did at one point consider the darkness as well. So I, you know, okay. we're on the same page here. Ileana and Karsh have been kind of following them throughout this journey. So I think they were represented by the cows and the moving eyeballs. It's a very, yeah. So, yeah, it was just random. And the cow sculptures are like life-size cows. They are huge.
Oh, yeah. With big creepy eyes.
With big creepy eyes that literally follow you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Alex and Cameron go to the diner where Lucinda works. And Lucinda brings them their burgers. No pickles. Ew. They hate pickles. Well, I hate Twitches. So, there.
I laughed out loud when I read that. Like, yeah, bitches, what's wrong with pickles? Fuck you too. Fuck you too. Seriously. The pickle roll.
So Lucinda is a bit jealous, understandably, and Alex recognizes this, stopping her before she leaves and letting Cam know, Lucinda is my bestie. She's like a sister. Ooh, and you want to go to a fancy Halloween party with me? It's in Waverly. Lucinda is in, but also needs to work. So she leaves the twins to do their thing. Cameron flips through Alex's notebook. What are these little rhymes? Alex cocks an eyebrow. Well, a magical land needs magical spells, right? But they don't work. Cameron raises her eyebrow back at Alex. Have you tried them lately? Cameron tries one. To make an object disappear, tap it twice and say, oh dear. And her glass disappears. But not the liquid inside.
I was wondering about that, too. I'm like, wouldn't the whole thing disappear? Would you just tap Corinne on the shoulder and be like, to make a thing disappear, tap it and say, oh, dear. And then your arm disappears instead of all of you.
But the object was the glass.
Right. But, okay, fair.
Yeah. No, I thought about it, too. As Cameron works at wiping up the mess, a guy a few tables over starts talking loudly on his phone. Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? And then he's like, doo, 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 doo. The twins look at each other and improv a spell together. Alex starts, because you're so loud and rude, Cameron continues, it's time to have some fun with food. And his soda bubbles up, spraying him in the face. He hastily says, gotta go. Closes his phone and books it out of there. The twins celebrate. Go Twitches! Go Twitches! And they realize they came up with the same nickname. What? Twin witches! Twitches! So exciting! I can tell you're thrilled.
Okay. I did not like that part. I was just like, oh, what in the holy 2005 hell is this?
There were a couple of moments in this movie where I just felt like they had them act not their age. Mm-hmm. And the
yes.
the Go Twitches 21. The Go Twitches moment was one of them. And then we'll get to one at the very end.
I must say also that while I was doing the outline, I was sitting in my living room and my roommate's friend, Juan, who's in his early 20s, like, came out, and I had paused it while I was, like, making some notes.
Uh-huh.
And it was basically, like, the heart and moon pendant that yeah. was enlarged in the frame.
Uh-huh.
He walks out, and he goes, are you watching Twitches? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, Juan? He goes, you're either watching Twitches or The Craft. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here, Juan. I'm like, how the hell do you know that? He goes, well, the pendant and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he's a pretty dry, funny, like very intelligent gay man. And I'm like, when did you watch this? He goes, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you going to watch the sequel?
Twitches 2.
Okay. Okay. Maybe it's like not that. I was like, this is kind of not my cup of tea, but maybe it's more universal than I imagined, than I realized.
I just like watching bad TV, so I'm like, I've seen Twitches before, but I specifically watch it knowing that it's not good, but I enjoy it regardless.
It was just so funny to see this guy who does, I'm like, how much TV do you watch, honestly? Because he'll come out and he'll be like, oh, are you watching Love and Thunder? Uh-huh. And I'm like, sweet baby Jesus. Like, I haven't paused, honey. You're not even watching like seconds of it. You just see like a screenshot and you're like, Thor, Love and Thunder God. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're good. You need like to be on a game show.
Yeah, the name that tune of movie screen picks, screen grabs. Yeah. Meanwhile, Karsh and Ilyana are at a neighboring table, and Ilyana is thrilled about their progress, but Karsh, who ended up with ketchup all over his face from the spell, didn't really appreciate it so much. Then we have a montage of the Twitches doing magic wherever they go while We Got the Beat, which I'm not exactly sure why they chose that song to go along with this, but, you know.
Because it's poppy and bubbly and makes you want to shake your shoulders, because I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, we got the beat, we got the beat. I went through the whole song and I'm like, how is this relevant?
Yeah,
it's not really.
it's not. So it bubbly plays in the background. Yay, they're doing spells and using magic. And unfortunately, throughout, Karsh ends up getting side zooped by the magic while Ilyana emerges unscathed time after time. While the Twitches hang in a park eating a magical apple, Karsh expresses his frustration to Ilyana that the twins aren't taking things seriously. But Ilyana thinks they need the bonding time. I agree with Ilyana. A bit later, Alex and Cameron return to Alex's apartment. Karsh senses a change in the Force and is going to go through the wall into Lucinda's apartment to talk to the twins, but he can't. Oh, shit. The darkness has landed. Alex is talking about how she wishes Lucinda's daughter Nicole was there. I will tell you that I went through and I changed things, but I obviously forgot this point. I was like, Lucinda is a single mom living in this apartment with Alex being her friend sleeping on the couch. Lucinda's 21 and she has this like 8-year-old little sister who really seems more like her daughter. It was weird.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I got that too, because at the beginning they're like, so-and-so left because she couldn't wait for you to wake up because then she'd be late for work. So there was like that mention. Yeah. But then I felt like without that kind of comment, I'm like, oh, you live with your friend who's a single mom. Yeah. And you're staying on her couch. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. 1000%.
Yeah.
And then she manifests later and makes dinner. And I'm like, who are you now?
Yeah. Not only does she manifest later and make dinner, but she's wearing a wedding ring. And I'm like, the husband who we never hear referred to or anything. Yeah, it was, I don't know. Anywho, so it's not Lucinda's daughter. It's Lucinda's very much younger sister, Nicole, was there. Alex wishes Nicole was there because seeing Cameron would totally trip her out. Cam is talking about how they're all powerful and the darkness doesn't stand a chance against them. When, hello, darkness, my old friend. Cam turns around and the twins meet the darkness. Come to talk to you again. They run off screaming and the darkness destroys Lucinda's apartment. Yay! I was really upset about this. I was like, these people do not have money and this thing is like burning through their shit. What the hell?
Go burn the flowers at Cameron's house for the love of God.
Seriously, they have the money to replace that shit. They probably have like tons of insurance on everything too. The darkness pursues the twins and grabs Cam's ankle. Is this the end? And we'll find out after the break.
What? No. No, it's not the end.
I don't know. Cam's been grabbed by the darkness. When we we left off.
I've been grabbed by the darkness a time or two.
Oh, hello. I feel like I'm always in the darkness.
Yeah. Sometimes I liked it, sometimes I did not.
Oh, your darkness is spicier than my darkness. My darkness is just a black void of despair.
I think we're talking about different things then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yours is more like what the fuck's Jimmy Angel Love from...
No, it's not. No, it's not. We were talking about Practical Magic. Jimmy Angel Love is nowhere in that. No. Mm-mm. That is not the darkness I want around or near me.
When we left off, Kem was in danger as she fled up a flight of stairs and the darkness grabbed her ankle. Is this the end for the twins? Alex is a survivalist at heart, and she yells to her sister, "Grab my hand!" Cam reaches out, and when the twins join hands, the darkness is repelled. The twitches run behind a door and end up in Coventry.
Huh. You say that so nonchalantly. And they're in Coventry. The girls regroup on the Coventry side of the door. Carson and Eliana magically appear and tell the two that they didn't think they would survive their first interaction with the darkness, but they did. Yay, you! Cameron is pissed. This is not the magic she signed up for. It was supposed to be fun, like rainbows, unicorns, and sparkles, not this darkness bullshit. The guardians decide to leave the twins in a what-the-fuck moment and dissolve into slips of light and are gone. But they suck at hiding because the girls find them a short ways away. Again, I don't know why they're like, we must leave them to teach them a lesson. And then they go like 2 feet further away. And they're like, I feel so bad that we left them. And they're like, oh, we found you. You think you can get away from us that easy? And I'm like, what was the purpose of that? I don't get it.
Here's the thing. The Ileana and Karsh did not realize that Alex and Cam had slipped Apple Tags into their pockets so that they could track them wherever they went.
Silly me. I missed that. Okay. After more verbal ass chewing, Alex shows her appreciation for the fact that at least the Guardians created a portal to whisk them away to safety in the nick of time. Karsh corrects her. Nuh-uh, girl, that was all you're doing. And Alex is a little thrilled by her newfound skills and the easy-peasy instructions on how to conjure it all. All she needs to do is believe in her powers. Believe. But, unfortunately, Cam believes she is going home. Mm. She's done with this and books it back to the portal, much to Alex's dismay. She tries talking her out of it. They need to find their mom. They're stronger together. They need to save the Coventry. But all Cam needs is to go back home in time for her birthday party, where she feels safe. Alex thought she had found an ally in her twin, but this darkness shit is too real for Cam. Cam admits she was sheltered and can't deal. Alex is disappointed because this darkness still is not the worst thing to ever happen to her. Mm. Her twin is apologetic but undeterred. She tries the portal, but it won't open. Karsh and Ileana appear again and tell the two that the darkness can't survive long in the Earth realm and it's safe to go back. They open the portal for the two and Cam is out. She goes back to Earth, gets into her Porsche, and leaves, her sis looking after her. Now running out is both of their things. Ooh. That night, Cameron's party is in full swing. There's decorations and waiters. Karsh and Eliana are close by. Karsh passing out hors d'oeuvres and Eliana stuffing her face in the corner with punch and cupcakes. Cam is dressed as a princess but is on edge when her friend Beth approaches and jovially says, "Hey, princess!" Cam snaps, "Why does everybody keep saying that?" "Well," Beth responds, "you are dressed like a princess. Duh." "But enough about you. Where's your twin sister? I can't wait to hear all about your reunion." But Cameron admits that she's not sure she's coming. It winds up they are not that much alike. Beth asks if Alex is vapid and shallow, and Cam says sadly, "No, I am."
Aww.
She wants to keep her life exactly how it is. Who wouldn't? Safe, wealthy, tennis courts, catered parties. Sign me up. Beth tries to take her mind off things by grabbing a boy and bringing him over, because nothing gets a girl over a funk like dancing and shamelessly flirting. And as Corinne so eloquently put it in her notes, 21st birthdays, non-Disney ways to take your mind off of things, especially when you're 21, is also liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I add, bring me all the boys, Jose Cuervo, Jack Daniels, and Jim Beam.
Ooh, cheers. Nice. Clever. I like it. The night of the Halloween party at Alex's place, Alex is a bit of a mess. She does not eat her delicious-looking birthday cake, but instead has spread it all over her plate. Lucinda asks her what the problem is, and Alex lets her know that she thought she could trust her twin, but turns out the only person that she can trust is herself. Lucinda, eyeing a plant charred by the darkness, says, "That's a lot of expectation to put on a 6-hour-long relationship." I'm like, Lucinda, you are fucking wise. And
exactly. When she said that, I'm like, hello. Yes. Yeah. How long have you known each other, twins or not? Like, you lived very different lives, and you cannot put all that responsibility on a family member's shoulder if you just met. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
And I say, fuck off, because Lucinda has been there for her, just made her a birthday cake, and is sleeping on Alex is sleeping on Lucinda's motherfucking mm-hmm. couch.
Mm-hmm. She's kind of been shitting on poor Lucinda the whole movie. Ugh. Like, when they were in the diner and she introduced her to Cameron, Lucinda was kind of like hanging on the perimeter, like, well, I guess I'm going to go back to work. And then Alex got the cues, like, this is my best friend and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, honey, appreciate the people in your life more.
Yeah, I think the diner thing, she was kind of wrapped up, but she realized and she rectified.
Yeah.
Her being like, the only person I can rely on is myself, when, like, she's living in her fucking friend's house talking to her friend who is there for her and been trying to support her all this time. That's a hard one to swallow.
I'm just saying that previous scene was kind of added insult to injury.
Yeah.
Because I saw that and I'm like, mm-hmm, I see you. And then this and I'm like, you need to get right. You need to get right with your friend.
She does. She does need to get right with her friend. Lucinda clears the kitchen table and Alex rushes into Lucinda's room and talks to herself. It is too up to me. My so-called protector's not here. My sister out partying. And Lucinda just doesn't understand. I'm stuck here. She pauses a moment. Wait a minute. I opened the door once before. I can do it again. She steals herself, visualizes, and chants. Time for mother and daughter to reunite. Open the gates to Coventry tonight. And whips open the door to a pissed off Lucinda who wants her bedroom back. Alex goes into the bathroom and tries again. She centers herself. Her necklace glows. And she opens the door into Coventry. Previously, when Alex and Cam have ported into Coventry, it's been to an outlying area. But this time, Alex is in the motherfucking castle. She sees her mom and hides behind a pillar, but Miranda senses her, and as soon as she sees Alex, she immediately knows who she is. Artemis, you're alive! Every day for 21 years, I always hoped that you were alive! They tearfully reunite. Back on the Earth dimension, Lucinda knocks on the bathroom door and apologizes for being petty and jealous and encourages Alex to go to the party. And she's sure that she can make it right with Cameron. Plus, Alex and Lucinda can mock people, and Lucinda knows Alex loves doing that. She opens the door, and no Alex. She takes it better than expected, though, saying, "You're so lucky it's your birthday. You better not have gone to that party without me." Woof.
Mm-hmm. Back at Coventry Castle, Miranda and Alex catch up. TLDR. Artemis is Alex. Apollo is Cameron. Alex's adopted mom is dead. Cameron is with her family. Ileana and Kars watched over them for the last 21 years. They're the good guys. Miranda's glad they got the fuck out of Coventry way back because it wasn't safe for two young, powerful witches. But now they're back and they have to join their powers to defeat the darkness. No big whoop. Back at Cameron's party, Cameron may just be having her own personal come-to-Jesus moment. She walks off to be alone, but Beth isn't far behind. Something is off, and Beth can't figure out what it is. The party is perfect. Cam was dancing with a cute pirate. What more could she want on her 21st? Mm-hmm. Cam tells her that she doesn't feel much like swashbuckling, and she needs a moment. Her parents venture out towards them, as Beth assures her this night is all about her. And Cam sighs. Yes, just like yesterday and the day before that. Mm-hmm. She realizes for too long she's been the sun in her own universe's sky, everything rotating around her.
Ooh.
Speaking of sun, Ileana and Karsh, the guardians, are close by. Karsh is wondering why the thing hasn't happened yet, because Cam is at her weakest when the sun goes down. The timing apparently has to be perfect. But I just liked how I layered in that.
It like, was beautiful.
She's the sun. And then the sun. I know, right? But I was like, but then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I would have just totally left that part out personally. I don't mean that like as a, I don't mean that as like
no, me
to
too.
Be critical of you. But uh-huh. I was like, but I just think like, it's a little
the
confusing.
Sun and then the sun.
Yeah.
And then the sun, and then the sun. I'm like, I'm leaving it in.
Okay.
And a half.
I think it was beautiful. You lovely layered it.
Because we don't know what the heck is going to happen. We're going to find out, apparently.
Ooh.
Back at the come to Jesus talk, Cam assures her friend, Beth, that she'll be back to her usual self in a few minutes and goes to find a quiet bench. Dad stands by, thinking he needs to partake in this serious discussion with his daughter. He starts pumping himself up with the pep talk. This could be an important dad moment. But Mom intervenes. She's got this, much to her husband's relief. And she goes and talks to her daughter.
Mama Emily sits down on the bench next to Cameron. The party is going on, off in the distance behind them, but where they sit is relatively peaceful. Mama says, Cam, I understand why you're distracted. I talked with Beth, and I know that you found your twin, but why isn't she here with you tonight? Cameron's eyes well up with tears as she looks at her mom and replies, it's complicated, but part of it is that Alex really wanted to find our birth mother, and I'm happy with things the way they are, right here at home. I don't want anything to change. Mama M looks tenderly at Cameron. I hope you didn't hold back because of me, Cammy. Love. Oh, God, I got a little too southern there.
Jesus Christ.
Why do I do that? I don't know. It's not intentional. It just slips out.
It's okay.
I hope you didn't hold back. I don't even.
Fiddle dee dee.
I hope you didn't hold back because of me, Cammy. Love is infinite and there's enough for everyone. You don't have to worry about hurting my feelings. Just because you want to give some love to somebody else doesn't mean that any love will be taken away from me or your dad. They tearfully hug. Cam feels so much better. Mama M feels the situation is resolved. Okay, Cam, let's go back to the party and partay. But Cam stops her. So, there's more. Yeah, so Alex and I aren't from here, not just here, but from another dimension. And we're magical, and there's the darkness coming after us. Mama M takes the news pretty well, all things considered, and surprisingly says, you know, that kind of makes sense. When you were young, you used to have nightmares, and that face you used to draw? But your dad said it had an early Edvard Munch quality. Which I was like, that's a good line. Oh! Cam earnestly responds, do you remember what it looked like? Mom says, I don't remember. Oh, my Lord. Mom says, I don't remember. It's my sweet tea.
Why are you going southern? Don't go southern, Corinne. Oh, don't go say, come back to the north.
Come back to the north. Mom says, jeez. Says, I don't, it just comes out. I don't remember, but I know that one of your drawings is in one of the scrapbooks upstairs. Cam rushes upstairs, finds the book, and when she flips to the page where her drawing is, she finds a picture that looks a lot like Thantos. Sorry, bio mom, a bad choice in second husbands.
Can I just say, like, what parent? Because it's like, here's your birthday party. Here's another picture of you in the park having a good time. Here is the drawing you made that gave you such, like, horrible nightmares, like, plastered next to these wonderful, wholesome memories.
But, you know, parents love to hold on to things like their children's art. So I'm sure that it was...
Would you put it in the scrapbook next to, like, the birthday and, like, park pictures, though? That's all I'm asking. Categorizing is important.
I don't know. Thantos is pretty handsome.
Okay. Alrighty. Back at Coventry, Miranda is approached by the handsome Thantos.
I was reenacting Alex. The picture, and Tamara wasn't impressed by my reenactment.
I wasn't. Because he wasn't. He... sorry. You weren't sultry enough. You need to really bring the... Like how you bring the southern, you need to bring the sultry. You are turning three shades of red.
That's sultry, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hot. There's some heat. I can feel some heat radiating off you, at least.
I haven't opened my window like I typically do. I was going for the full Tamara experience.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Solidarity. Back at Coventry, Miranda is approached by the handsome Thantos. Alex quietly smiles when her mom makes introductions. He is your father's brother. They hug and he tells her she couldn't have come at a better time. The darkness has overcome the North Gate and she could finally fulfill the prophecy. Or maybe not, because Miranda divulges that Apollo is not there with them, which is terrible, quote-unquote, news, because Alex is not strong enough to defeat the darkness without her sister. And more importantly, Cameron is practically defenseless on Earth without Alex. No! Alex feels awful. She knows Cam thought she'd be left alone if she stayed on Earth, but surprise, the darkness is going to crash her party. Back at the party, things are still raging. The darkness decides to make a subtle entrance through the kitchen ceiling. The maid is there sweeping when she sees a black glob and immediately yells, "I am not cleaning that up!" as she is overtaken. A short distance away, Lucinda finds Cameron and tells her she came because she thought Alex was there. She's not, but Lucinda encourages the two of them to talk. They're good together. Meanwhile, outside, things are going batshit crazy. Lights are exploding. The guest thinks it's a light show. The guardians realize that this is not pyrotechnics, but rather the darkness making its presence known. They whisk Cameron away inside. They need to conjure a portal to take her back to Coventry to where she will be safe. They attempt to go out the front door, but it's blocked by Funky Sulfur Dick.
You and your sulfur dick.
By the Funky Sulfur Red and Black Dick.
It is voluminous, though.
It is. Karsh tells him to go upstairs. He's made a portal there. He will fend off the darkness so they can escape. Before they go, Ileana lays a kiss on him and tells him to be brave. They're a couple? Ew! Because throughout the movie, he's kind of been a dick to her. Anyways, they get up to the room and they don't have much time. Karsh gets swallowed by the darkness. Then Ileana. It's cornered Cameron. But Mom, her adoptive mom, comes to the rescue. She throws open the room door, and the darkness immediately repels away from her and disappears. Cameron thinks her mom is magical, too? But her mom assures her, not the last time she checked, she's not magical. So why did it repel the darkness?
Oh, that's power of love.
The power of love. Cameron takes the drawing of who we now know as Thantos, crumples it up and says, "No one threatens my friends and family," and gets away with it. Yeah. I'm going to Coventry.
Yeah.
And then she leaves in a huff. In a huff! In a huff! Through the closet door. But that's not the portal. Crap. So she leaves in a smaller huff through the other closet door and disappears into a strip of light.
Coventry is encircled by the darkness. Thantos comes rushing into the castle and he lets them know he found Cameron but barely escaped with his life. She's being controlled by the darkness and the castle needs to be sealed against her. Alex says, "You can't do that." But Thantos insists, "It's what needs to be done." And Alex counters, "You can't do that because she's already here." Cameron comes into his line of sight and the twins, "Whatever, loser," him, which is the other moment where I was like, really?
Are yes.
Five, like, whatever, W, loser, L on their foreheads. Mm. I was like, no, that doesn't fit.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm like, you're not 12. I thought maybe it was the sign of the times. I'm like, 2005, was that what people said, maybe? And I'm like, no, it's not. At least not when you're 21.
Yeah. I don't know. I say it all the time now. Whatever, loser.
Okay, so then it's appropriate for 46-year-olds.
I'm not 46. You are, old woman.
For a couple of days, girl. For a couple of days. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Oh. When this is released, you will be 46.
Yes, of the time of the recording, I am 46. It is true. Okay.
Hateful. Hold on to that youth as hard as you can, Corinne. Hold on. Yeah, those were the things that kind of like popped me out. I'm like, oh, this is cute. And then I'm like, well, go Twitches, whatever, loser. And I'm like, oh, no, you lost me.
Yeah.
You lost me.
Yeah. No, those two things, they just didn't make sense within the context and tone of the movie because they weren't doing that kind of thing throughout. If they'd been doing that kind of thing throughout, it would have made more sense, but they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Thantos rushes towards her, feigning relief. No. Thantos rushes towards Alex, feigning relief. No. Thantos rushes towards Cameron, feigning relief. I'm just going to go through everybody. Thantos rushes towards Miranda, feigning relief.
Thantos rushes towards Corinne, feigning relief.
Thantos rushes towards Tamra, feigning relief. And he's alive.
And she karate chops him in the throat. Fuck you.
Miranda confronts him about the drawing, but he tries to distract them with the darkness. Don't look at me. Look at the Bernie smoke. Miranda takes no shit, magically catapults him into a throne and wraps him up. Thantos swears, I'm a good guy. If you want to know the truth, just look into my eyes. But the twins say they'd rather see his hands, and they magic his black gloves off of his hands. And at the beginning of the movie, the darkness reaches his hands down at the twins and then is like warded off by a bright flashy light, and the necklaces light up, and those two honker hands each have the one has a symbol of the moon burned into it, and the other hand a sun from when he tried to grab them as babies. Miranda.
Is that what it was?
Yep, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because the dad imbued all of his power into them, but it looked like more like he was channeling it into their necklaces. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, when the darkness came in, he reaches both hands and then he's like, ah, and their necklaces light up and create this big flashy light.
And then give them some little hand tattoos.
Give them some little hand tattoos.
A little something to remember us by.
Uh-huh. It harkens back to Practical Magic when Johnny Angellove had the skull ring that he was trying to burn into people.
You're not allowed to say the J word anymore. Do not say Johnny Angellove anymore. This whole episode. You're forbidden. You reach your quota. You said it twice. That's enough.
I wonder if I say it a third time if he appeared. Oh. Okay.
Oh, God. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yes. Miranda had shared her power with Thantos. She thought she was sharing it for good, but he was using her powers against her in Coventry. Miranda is putting an end to this bullshit, but Thantos isn't ready to give up. He pulls more darkness into the room, drains the last of Miranda's powers, and turns into darkness smoke himself. Thantos tells Miranda, "You have nothing left." But the twins say, "Wrong, she has us." Thantos absorbs Miranda in smoke, and darkness surrounds the twins. They can't see a thing, even though they are right next to each other. Cameron! Alex! Cameron! Alex!
A moving rendition of that scene.
It was bad. It was, like, there were good moments in this movie, like, legit good moments in this movie, and that was, like, right up there with whatever loser. Like, it was bad. They find each other and grasp hands in the darkness, and they realize the opposite of darkness is love, and that's why Cam's mom repelled the darkness. The twins think of love and all the infinite love they have and vanquish the fuck out of the darkness. Where there once was an expanse of crispy dark land, it's now green and lush. Miranda, Ileana, and Karsh reappear. Yay! Everyone reconvenes at the birthday Halloween party, and good moments are had by all. And we find out that Ileana loves chicken wings. And I can't fault her for that. I really can't.
No. She wants to live in the Earth Realm, which may or may not be the Purple Realm because of the chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Miss Tamara, what'd you think of Twitches?
Oh, gosh. Well.
We're not starting off good
here. I love Tia and Tamara, but this was just, it was entertaining. It had its moments, but it also did not have its moments. So there were some things that I was just like, wait, what? And even after I watched it a couple of times, which sometimes clarifies things, it did not. I'm just like, wait, what? I still don't understand why you said that or why you even mentioned it. There was some As you said it, kind of offbeat things, mm-hmm. like they would do or say things that were a little offbeat from the vibe and the feel of the movie.
Yeah.
Like the go twitches. And I'm like, I probably would like this if I was nine. But as a 46-year-old woman, it's kind of hard to buy into the go twitches or the whatever loser.
Yeah, for 21-year-olds. Yeah.
For 21-year-olds. And yeah. maybe if it was like the precipice, like I'm going to be a trendsetter and this is going to be like the thing that I say. And it's just going to like ripple out into society and it's going to be my thing, which I don't feel like it was. It was like them biting off of something that was trendy at the time and not a great way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 2 dry kisses.
Ooh, okay.
It's also not a romance. It's it's a comedy, but not a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And it is falling in line with our Halloween theme, but the CG, again, I'm going back in. The CGI.
It's really
and
bad.
The green screens, and I don't want to say like a whole lot of like unsavory things in case Disney hires me later on for some work, but still, like it's just, I feel like they could have done better. I feel like what they had, honestly, it wasn't bad, but it just needed a little punch, like a little push,
uh-huh.
a little like some art director that's just like, yeah, that doesn't say, yeah, that's fine.
It needed a little Pixar. We get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Corinne, what did you think of Twitches?
You know, I basically agree with everything that you have to say. I rate it higher than you, but marginally so. I give it a 3 dry kisses, and it's not a solid 3 dry kisses. It's a 3 dry kisses. I will say that this movie is hella diverse, so I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Tia and Tamara, mm-hmm. great. And I thought it had some interesting moments. And also some really bad ones. So, but, you know, I just enjoyed it. It was a nice enough movie. So, even though it did have no romance, which was a little disappointing, I knew that going in. But I will tell you, honestly, finding diverse Halloween-y type movies, very difficult.
I remember you said you tried to watch A Vampire in Brooklyn. Oh, you're like, nah, didn't even get through that.
I was like, if Tam wants to outline it, I will totally do it. But I stopped.
With that glowing endorsement, how could I not want to do it? I didn't even watch it. I'm like, oh, I was interested in watching that once upon a time. You're like, couldn't get through it. I'm like, well, now I'm not. No, I know we have like different gauges of what we enjoy. But if you're like, couldn't even get through it, I'd be like, probably not going to like it. Just not going to lie.
It just was like, mm-hmm. it was not very cohesive and boring, but, you know, I only got a third of the way through, so maybe it got better.
Probably not, though.
On IMDb, it is not rated well at all. So, anywho, you're at 2, I'm at 3.
I did waffle between 2.5 and 2.75, mm-hmm. so I was just like, then after we went through the whole thing together, I'm like, no, 2.
I considered a 2.5 as well. So, you know,
okay.
Yeah.
Twinning!
I totally think that we could both happily meet in the middle and just give it a 2.5 dry kiss and feel like we're
okay.
Both, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with that. Yeah. I'm totally with that.
So, Ms. Tamara, what do we have coming up next week?
Well, next week we are going to do Hocus Pocus to go on with our spooktacular October month.
Well, I'm super excited about Hocus Pocus. I actually saw this a couple of summers ago with my sister. We saw it at a pandemic drive-in movie.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch. And it was spookier than I thought. But I had seen it once before in an old renovated porno movie theater, which was no longer a porno movie theater. So
I was going to say, I'm sorry, what?
I knew what I was getting into.
Was there a lot of stains on the seats? I'm just asking for a friend.
It was dark. I didn't look, you know. No blue lights should be allowed in movie theaters, just for peace of mind. And if you have anything you'd like to say about Hocus Pocus, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy Najimy, and who's the third one? Beaches.
Bette Midler.
Bette Midler. Thank you. If you have anything you'd like to say about Twitches, good Twitches, go Twitches, or...
Stop it. You stop it right now.
Whatever, loser. or anything.
Oh, God. I'm turning off the phone right now. I'm just going to do the closeout by yourself. That's it. I'm out.
In between.
Please email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us via the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at One Dry Kiss.
And as always, if you can find the time to rate and review us anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. But in the meantime, we thank you for stopping by, and we bid you adieu with
One Dry Kiss.
Mwah! We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
All right, from the outside of the pee-pee closet, I think that went well.
Yeah.